All right, well, good afternoon, everyone. Happy Sabbath. Happy Sabbath to all those listening in on the web hookup as well. I have a question to start off for everyone this afternoon. Has anyone ever borrowed anything from you? Now, this might seem like a little bit of a generic question. I mean, of course, someone's probably borrowed something from you, but maybe a friend or neighbor, maybe they peek their head over the fence and they say, hey, can I borrow that ladder of yours? And I'm sure most of the time you're more than happy to help out where you can and gladly give where needed. But what if that same neighbor, well, he came over at midnight, knocked on your door, and he asked you for that same ladder? How willing would you be to help them out? Now, well, for those of you who are hoping for some big elaborate story about how my crazy neighbor came over at midnight, he knocked on my door and he asked for a ladder, I'm sorry to disappoint, but I don't have one of those stories for you this afternoon. But there is an example in our Bibles to a similar situation that I would like to look at instead. And we can find this over in Luke chapter 11, starting in verse 5. And in the heading of my Bible, this is called the parable of the friend who comes at midnight, which I kind of think sounds like a really good title for like a murder mystery novel, but that's neither here nor there. The parable of the friend who comes at midnight, Luke 11, starting up in verse 5. We're going to go ahead and read. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut and my children are in bed with me. I cannot rise and give to you. Finally, verse 8. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give as many as he needs. Now, this is definitely an interesting little story here. I mean, first of all, I really like how this whole scenario is very realistic, right? To how someone might react to someone knocking on your door at midnight, right? You're laying in bed, you just fell asleep, and you hear. Now, at first, you're like, okay, I'm dreaming. It's not really a knock at my door. But then a second later, you hear it again, right? You hear knock, knock, knock. So you stumble out of bed. You're like, who is this? What's going on? Maybe if you're in my neighborhood, you're concerned. You're like, do I need to call 911 because someone's knocking at my door? But anyway, you go down the stairs, you open the door, and you see your neighbor standing there. And he's like, dude, I need bread. And you're like, oh, come on, it's midnight. I'm tired. And he's like, no, come on, someone come to visit me. I don't have anything to give to them. I really need some bread. And you're like, oh, my kids are asleep. And I just got the baby down. He's been crying for an hour. But he's so confident at you. He looks at you with those puppy dog eyes. And he's like, I need bread. And finally, you say, you know, okay, hold on. Let me see what I can do. Now, I don't know how it is for all of you out there. But when someone comes to me for help, I almost feel like this sense of obligation, or I feel very compelled to help them. There's a certain amount of obligation that comes with being needed. But what does it mean, or what does that have to do with our relationship with God? Today, we're going to take a look at 3 lessons that we can glean from this parable that can help us grow as Christians today. And for those of you who like titles, the title of my message this afternoon is Be Bold for Bread. So let's start with point number 1. We must believe that God is willing and able to help us. We must believe that God is willing and able to help us. There are 2 very important words that I would like to point out or highlight in my first point. And those are the words willing and able. They are 2 words that are very similar, but also very different. Because sometimes people may be able to help us, but they're just not willing. Like that occasional, very unfriendly sales associate at the Home Depot. Or maybe these people are very willing to help us, but they're just not very able. Also like that very unhelpful, friendly sales associate at the Home Depot. But I think one of the big points Christ is trying to take away from this, or trying to have us take away from this parable, is that God is most certainly able to help us, but that he's also very willing to help us as well. I mean, it can be hard sometimes to ask for help. It's not that you don't think that a person is able to help, but rather you just don't want to bother them. You don't want to disturb them. I mean, maybe it's your manager at work who always seems so busy, or maybe it's your chemistry teacher in college who has a classroom of 200 students to look over. The point is sometimes we let our own fear create perceptions of people that aren't real. We tell ourselves that our teacher or that our manager doesn't want to be bothered to help us, when in reality, they're just there waiting for us to come to them and ask for help. Christ is saying that we should go to God with the confidence that he is not only able to help us, but that he's very willing to help us as well. Which now leads me to my second point this afternoon. Point number two, we must come to God with boldness and confidence for what we need. We must come to God with boldness and confidence for what we need. And we might read over this parable and think, first of all, just how crazy it was for this neighbor to come to his neighbor's house in the middle of the night and ask for bread. It might be what we focus on. But if we take a second and we look at it from the context of the times and from Christ's perspective and how his audience would have looked at this situation, we can make a little bit more sense to us. Now, hospitality for the culture of this time was very important, so much so that the idea of not having something for a visitor, even an impromptu one, would have been a very big social stigma. The honor of the village would be at stake should hospitality fail to be extended, is a footnote in my cultural study Bible. So I can imagine Christ's audience at least appreciating the plight of this poor man, having nothing for his visitor. But once again, this still brings us to the same man showing up at someone's doorstep in the middle of night asking for bread. But let's take a moment now to notice how this man asks for his bread. He doesn't beat around the bush and try to lighten the mood with a joke, which is something that I would be very willing to do or would be very apt to do. But he's very direct with his request. The whole scenario is very bold of this man. He would have known that his friend would probably be asleep and that his family would be asleep also. That didn't deter him. It was a bold move for him to knock on that door, but he did, and he asked his request with confidence that his friend would come through for him in the end. So why did the man fulfill his friend's request? Well, Christ gives us the answer in verse 8, if you'd like to rejoin me here in Luke 11, and we're just going to focus now on verse 8. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is a friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Because of his persistence. This word persistence here is translated differently depending on the Bible version that you may be looking at, with some other interpretations of this word being importunity. Shameless persistence, my personal favorite, shameless audacity, or just plain old shamelessness. Shameless makes me think of being unself-conscious, and Christ tells us that it was this man's boldness and supporting confidence that caused his friend to come through for him. In this human example, the shameless boldness prevailed, but how much more will God freely give because he is infinitely more kind and ready to do good to us than we are to one another? God's not angry when we come to him with a request. And this parable shows the typical neighbor in contrast to our loving God. We must shamelessly seek him with confidence, which is also known as faith. And we are all familiar with that very well-known verse over in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, if you'd like to join me there quickly. Hebrews chapter 11 and looking at verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. We must be bold and have this same kind of confidence or faith in God that we read about in this parable. And this now brings me to my third and final point this afternoon, point number three. We must come to him by prayer for others as well as for ourselves. We must come to him by prayer for others as well as for ourselves. Now this, I'll be perfectly honest, this third and final point, this came directly out of the Matthew Henry commentary in their discussion of this parable. Because it really just struck me when I read this note just how very true that it is, but also how very understated it was within the parable itself. Because here we have this man going to his friend for bread, but he wasn't doing it for himself. It's not like this man woke up in the middle of the night and said, man, I'm hungry, I need bread. But he was doing it for a friend who came to visit him. And if we turn this around on ourselves, it's similar to a situation where we're praying for a friend or a loved one or really anyone who needs it. Because the same power that comes through boldly and confidently coming to God for ourselves can also be used to help or comfort others. I'm reminded of Jesus' calm and confident prayer that we read over in John chapter 11 and 42. And if you'd like to join me there, John 11 and looking at verse 42. Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Christ knows that God hears him. And his intent is to help others in their spiritual growth. We often hear about prayer requests, or maybe we have a friend who comes to us in confidence and asks for our prayers for something in their lives that's going on. And we should never underestimate the power that our prayers can have in the lives of others. Now, as we begin to wind down here this afternoon, in case you haven't noticed, today's main points have all been somewhat focused around the idea or the concept of prayer. I mean, it's our connection with God the Father and Jesus Christ. It's how we communicate with them. And when we look through our Bibles, we can see countless examples of powerful prayers, right? From Daniel to David. I challenge you, maybe within your own Bible study time, to pick out your favorite biblical characters and read how they pray and see if you can't pick out some of the principles that we've talked about today in their own prayers. Like point number one, that we must believe that God is willing and able to come to us, or willing and able to help us. And when I read that first point, I automatically think of the centurion that we read about in the New Testament, right? He was so confident in God or in Christ and his power that he's like, Christ, you don't even need to come to my house. I know that you can heal my servant. My mind automatically goes to that. Or when we think about point number two, that we must come to God with boldness and confidence for what we need. My mind immediately goes to Elijah and how he had such confidence that God would light his sacrifice that he told them to dump more water on the altar. Or finally, like point number three, that we must come to him by prayer for others as well as ourselves. And I often think of Christ's example as he was praying in the garden before the evening before his crucifixion, and how he was not only praying for himself, but he also had the presence of mind to pray for all of his disciples and his believers he was leaving behind. As we've seen today, prayer is a powerful tool that we have at our disposal. Our Heavenly Father is far more loving and gracious than any physical neighbor we could ever have. And he's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I mean, if you need him at midnight, you can crawl out of bed, get on your knees, and he'll answer. He'll be there. Even at midnight, he's there for us. So we should never fear going to him for anything in our lives, no matter how big or how smart or how small we may perceive our problem. So let's be bold and confident in our prayers, knowing that God is willing and able to grant us not only what we need, but also the needs of others as we ask. The man in this parable asked for bread to feed his hungry guest. And that was what his bread represented to him. It represented a physical food, right? A physical nourishment. But what is the bread that we need in our own lives? Because the bread we read about in this parable could really be anything. Maybe we need physical food, or maybe we need spiritual food. Maybe we need guidance from our very own bread of life, Jesus Christ. Whatever the case may be in your own life, always remember that God is always here for us, even in the middle of the night when we're tossing and turning in bed and we can't sleep because of all the worry on our own minds. So let's always remember to knock on his door confidently, and let's ask boldly for our bread.